Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. To learn more about City Place Church, visit cityplacechurch.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at City Place Church. My name is Damon, and I welcome you to City Place Church. I'm so excited because we're getting ready to transition into the Word of God, and I want to make sure that our hearts are ready. You know, if we haven't pushed into God's presence through worship, and if we haven't leaned in level 10 like we always talk about, then the Word of God can just become a motivational speech. But I believe that this morning that God wants to speak to us and that there is real life change available to all of us. And so let's get ready to lean in level 10. At City Place Church, leaning in level 10 means that we remove the distractions, we engage in the conversation, and we take notes. And I just want you to know that our notes are available at cityplacechurch.com/notes. You know, today is Dude Week at City Place Church. It's Father's Day. And I just want to declare to the men, I want to declare as pastor of City Place Church that you are strong, that you are mighty through God, and that God has built you not to break, but to last. And I know sometimes you may miss the mark, but I want you to know that the Father has put inside of you everything you need to succeed. And I know Pastor Ted, he's going to be preaching to all of us as a group of people today. But man, I just want to pray for you today as we head into service, and then I'm going to kick it over to Pastor Ted. So let me pray for you, man. Father, I pray for the men. I pray for the young men that are being raised up. I pray for the boys, God, and I pray that we have a clear understanding of who you are and how you built us. God, I pray that although that we miss the mark and we may not get it right all the time, God, I pray that there's a hunger and a fervency to know you at a great level. And I just declare that the hand of God will touch every man today, that you'll change us, that you'll break us, and that we'll pursue you unashamed, walking in the boldness that you created in us to glorify your name and to represent you well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, City Place, I pray that you engage in everything in this service. Let's all get ready to lean into the Word of God this morning. Pastor Ted, I'm kicking it over to you. Enjoy service, y'all. Pastor Ted, here you go, man.
What's going on, City Place Church? Happy Fatherhood Day. My name is Pastor Ted Winsley of the Family Church of Voorhees, New Jersey. Hey, guys, you can actually call me Uncle Ted. I had an opportunity to meet Damon and Taisha some four or five years ago when we were all going through our training, our ARC training to launch life-giving churches. They actually launched almost a year ahead of us, so that's why I call them Big Brother and Big Sister Almighty. But me and Pastor Dawn met your amazing pastors, and at the moment that we met them, we knew that we were kindred souls and that we're family. So, guys, it is an honor to be able to minister to you on Father's Day. We call it Fatherhood Day because we're going to find out today that fatherhood is a function. Whether you have a child or not, you can operate in fatherhood. And just because you have a child doesn't mean you're a father. So today, guys, once again, before we go any further, I just want to also introduce you my family. I have on my Father's Day shirt. As you see, it says husband, dad, and grandpa. I've been married to my wife, Dawn Winsley, for 26 years. I say 26 years in the game. We'll be 27 this year. I have two children, Tierra and Teddy. Tierra is my oldest. She's 26 years old. Teddy is our youngest. He's 22 years old. And you saw grandpa. And then my grandson, Jonathan Winsley, my daughter's son, he is 2 years old. I know what you're saying. I know, black doesn't crack. But guys, this is my family, and I'm so happy and glad to be able to minister to you on Fatherhood Day because we're family. Are y'all ready? Let's pray. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, as we celebrate Father's Day, as we celebrate Fatherhood Day, Lord. How can we do that without recognizing that you are the great Father? You are a good, good Father. And we thank you today, Lord, as we talk about and celebrate fatherhood. We thank you, Lord, for being our source, our sustainer, our provider. And we give you glory, honor, and praise today that as a result of your word, not only will we know you better, but we'll know how to function because of you. We give you glory, honor, and praise for all these things in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody shout amen. Hey, guys, the message or our title for today is really simply this, delivering the mail. Come on, somebody. And how many of you know, even when you hear that, delivering the mail, it really has two meanings. Number one, of course, you know, people come and they deliver mail. They deliver a message. And that's my job today on Father's Day, on Fatherhood Day. I have a message for all of the men, for all of manhood today. And I believe, now don't get mad if in delivering the mail, I read your mail. But also we're going to understand that the other meaning is we're here to deliver the mail. And we're going to realize that when God created mankind, he created them male and female. And without a revelation of how we've been created to function, most men actually suffer in bondage and never have an opportunity to be who God called and created them to be. But somebody say, today is the day to deliver the mail. And we're going to find out that when the mailman is delivered, everyone benefits. So come on, let's just jump right into the word. 1 Kings, I'm not going to be long, but I will be strong. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. And let's get the foundation. Let's read it. It says, watch this. It says what? It said, when David's time to die was near, he charged Solomon, his son. And how many of you know that's something we have to realize, that literally we've all been born to die, but we were born to live before we die so we can charge our children to be better than us. And so it says, that when David's time to die was near, he charged his son Solomon, saying, watch this, y'all read with me. He says, what? I go the way of the earth. And so he's saying, look, guys, my departure is near. And son, this is what I want to tell you. Man, this is what I want to charge you with. What did he say? Be strong and show yourself a man. See, how many of you know that to be a man, but never show yourself to be a man, doesn't help anybody else. And so watch this. We're going to realize that it's always been God's intention to bring his will and his kingdom culture into the earth through the institution of biblical manhood. And we saw that in scripture, that's what David was telling his son. And if you keep reading that passage and for your homework, you'll realize that he went on to say that because of this, God made me a promise that there would always be my seed on the throne and the people would judge righteousness. And so watch this. So therefore, you got to realize that David, he was doing that. He actually was charging his son to don't just talk about it. Don't just pretend. Don't just dress up as one. He said, I need you to show yourself to be a man. And watch this. And he reminded him of God's promises to bless the community and the earth through this covenant. And that's what we're going to learn today, because how many of you know that anybody can have a child, but having a child doesn't make you a man? And we're going to discover today, this is how we're going to deliver the mail. And some of you are going to get your mail read, but that's all right. Sometimes in order to get to deliver, you got to read it, all right? And so we're going to find out that literally it's always been God's design to allow the man to be delivered out of the mail. That's going to make a whole lot of sense in a minute. Come on, turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 2 through 7. I know you've read this passage of scripture, but we're going to read it this way. It says what? And one day Ahab said to Naboth, since your vineyard is so convenient to my palace, I would like to buy it and to use it as a vegetable garden. See, how many of you know that oftentimes that if you don't know the purpose of something, you'll abuse it? And he says, watch this. He said, and I'll give you a better vineyard for exchange, or if you prefer, I just give you cash, brother. Well, how many of you know if it was better, then keep your own if it's better? And so it goes on. It says here, it says, but Naboth replied. How many of you know that Naboth was a man? Come on now. And we're going to understand what that means in a minute. And we're going to understand that Naboth operated in fatherhood. We're going to understand what that means in a minute. It says, but Naboth replied, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance that was passed down from my ancestors. How many of you know that there are some things that God has blessed you with? Listen to me, men and ladies. Guess what? The money can't buy. How many of you know your good name can't be bought? How many of you know the promise that God has given you cannot be bought? And when we don't know who we really are, sometimes we'll be willing to make an exchange that is actually less than our value. My son was little, I told you my son's 22 years old. I can't do this anymore. And I think I only got away with this once. He might have been 2 years old. And he had yet really understood the value of money. And I remember one day he had 10 dimes. And I said, hey, Theo, look here. And I pulled out 10 nickels. And I said, hey, Theo, look here. I would like to make you a deal. I'll exchange my 10 big ones for your 10 little ones. And how many of you know, he looked at that and said, deal. And so he gave me his 10 little ones for my 10 big ones. And of course, anybody that knows the difference between a nickel and a dime knows that I cheated him, knows that he gave me a dollar. Come on, somebody. And I gave him 50 cents. And how many of you know, when we don't know our value, we'll make exchanges that we actually wind up losing on because we don't know our value. And so it says here, it says, watch this. It said the king went to bed. So after Naboth said, look here, dog, you're not going to make an exchange. You're not going to. I'm not giving up my 10 dimes for your 10 nickels. I know my value. Come on, I'm also talking to the ladies too. Come on, how many of you young ladies understand that your virginity, come on, talk to me, your name, that your purity, watch this, it's not worth someone who isn't willing to make the greatest exchange for an exchange. Come on, here we go. Hey, read with me. It says what? I thought it's about Father's Day. It's about every day. Let's read. It says here, it said the king went to bed with his face to the wall and he refused to eat. Look at this. Why? Because he couldn't get his way. Let's read. And we're learning about how to deliver the mail today. It says here, what's the matter? His wife Jezebel asked him. She said, wait, what's made you so upset that you're not even eating? How many of you know, and I'm talking to you, how many of you know sometimes we know how to be manipulative. We know when we don't get our way, how to act in accordance that will cause somebody to do what we want them to do. Verse six, what she said, he answers. He said, I asked Naboth to sell me his vineyard or to trade it, but he refused. Ahab told her. Next verse, verse 7, and I love this, and I'm going to read it in the NIV version, the keeping it real version. And she says, are you the king of Israel or not? Jezebel demanded. It says, watch here. She says, get up and eat something, because I've been frying chicken all day. No, get up and eat something. Watch this, and don't worry about it. Watch this. I'll get you Naboth's vineyard. And we're going to find out today that when the mailman doesn't operate in fatherhood, when the mailman refuses to be who God called and created him to be, he puts that weight on motherhood. And how many of you know, ladies, there are some weights that you weren't designed to carry? Come on, let's read it. It goes on. And so today we're going to find out that there are five signs of operating, look at this, as an emotionally emasculated male. Come on, today we're going to deliver the mail. Notice I said that there are five signs, and that's what this message is about. We're going to deliver the mail, but what kind of mail are we going to deliver? We're going to deliver the male who has been emotionally emasculated. See, in that story, do you realize that Naboth was the king? And even though Naboth was the king, because he was still emotionally bound, he had not yet found the man in the male. He was unable, watch this, to operate according to his design. And so today in scripture, we're going to learn, I'm going to show you five ways that we as men, and I'm talking about me too, we as men can find ourselves to be emasculated. In other words, our manhood. And please understand, I'll show you in a minute, that being a man is not biological. Watch this. Being a male is biological. Being a man is spiritual. Y'all ready for this? Come on. Come on. Hit your neighbor. Say, let's get ready for this. Come on. So we're about to deliver the mail. Here you go. Let's read. So key number one, watch this. Men who refuse, watch this, to be spiritual leaders of their homes. Look at that picture. You see, there's a picture of the lady and she's actually leading the man. And so read with me. It says, watch this. Men who are led spiritually by their wives are emotionally and spiritually emasculated. Now, come on now. Don't write me no letters. I'm not saying that women are not leaders. Women are leaders. Matter of fact, the Bible said it wasn't good for man to be alone. However, the Bible does say that in the home, the man must be the spiritual lead. And how many know that there are so many women right now that are tired because, as I said before, they're carrying their weight. And come on, men, they're carrying your weight too. And you don't realize, and some men are mad at women and feel like, oh, she's trying to be the man. No, you abdicated the role just like Ahab did. So let's read. It says, watch this. It says, men who are led spiritually by their wives are emotionally and spiritually emasculated. Why? Because look at this. Because they leave their wives spiritually uncovered. That's your filling. Here at the family church, I know I'm visiting, but here at the family church, we take notes. You want to know why we give you notes? Because y'all got homework. And guess what? And how many of you know that the test is not here? The test is when you leave out of here. And here's one more gem, and that's this, that guess what? The test that you fail is the one you're going to see again. Somebody say, I'm tired of failing this test that I keep seeing. Come on. So here's the first thing. Here's the first symptom of an emotionally emasculated man is when he allows his wife, watch this, and not even necessarily, because please understand that my wife, we lead each other. You know, there are times where she'll take the lead. There are times where I take the lead. But guess what? But understand this, as a function, I am the leader. At the end of the day, and she'll tell you this now, I'm responsible. So watch this. So when we make her responsible over what we're responsible for, we leave her what? Uncovered. Come on, read with me. Unprotected. Watch this. And waging spiritual warfare by what? Watch this. For their families by themselves. And so it's so important that we understand, guys, that when you know, someone say, you know what? Well, she's more spiritual. You know what? I'll just let her go to church. She's more spiritual. You know what? I'll just allow her to lead in prayer or pray when you don't even pray. She's more spiritual. I'll let her read the word of God for us. But how many of you know, gentlemen, you are the head. You are the covering. The Bible actually talks about the fact that when mankind fell in the garden, God actually went to the man. He didn't go to Eve first. He went to the man and he said, Adam, where are you? Why weren't you leading? Here we go. Come on. Here's number two. Y'all get anything out of this? I told you we're going to deliver the mail, but I got to read it in order for us to deliver you. I got to read your mail. Number two, let's read it. It says, watch this. What's the second symptom? Watch this. Men who run from relational conflict. Ooh, amen. See, I've come to deliver this message because I'm going back home. Amen. So here we go. Number two is men who run from relational conflict. Read with me. Look at that picture of that man right there, just all smoked up. It says here, it says emotionally emasculated men give in to the fear of confrontation. Come on, guys. Everybody look straight. We're going to get you through this. I'm also the chaplain for the Philadelphia Eagles. So watch this. There's an anointing on me to help you as a man. So read with me. Watch this. Emotionally emasculated men give in to the fear of confrontation. Perhaps, watch this, maybe it's because we fear, and I'm including myself, because we fear rejection, or watch this, or fearing the increase. Come on, here's the big one. Responsibility of, watch this, of having to make hard decisions that might arise out of such conflict. This is really good. You know, watch this. And you know, I know I used to do this because now my wife knows the trick, but I stopped it. So how many of you know that when men act like they don't know how to do something because they're really afraid that if I have to conflict, if I have to deal with this thing, first of all, I'm afraid that I might get rejected. Or number two, the biggest part, I'm afraid that I can't handle the added responsibility when I actually confront this thing. But gentlemen, you got to realize the Bible says that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And guess what? You might be male on the outside, but you are man on the inside. Come on, let's read it. It says, watch this. It says of making hard decisions that might arise out of such conflict. See, watch this. It's important to realize that we actually, come on, guys, we procrastinate or we try, here's your feeling, we try just to avoid conflict all together. You know, you see the doo-doo on the floor that the dog left, and you act like you don't see it. Come on, talk to me. And we don't realize that that's what happens when we're afraid to conflict, when we're afraid to deal with the problem. One, because you don't want to get rejected. Or two, because when you address a problem, you might be the solution. And that means you've got more responsibilities. Is this making any sense, guys? See, it's important to realize that you are a male by birth. Somebody say, I'm a male by birth. Watch this, but you're a man by choice. And that's why this message is so important, because God wants to deliver the male by allowing the man to show up. Here we go. Here's number three. So that was number one. Number two, come on. Are you getting something out of this? Number three is this. It says men who can never make a firm decision without second guessing them. Come on, write that in. Here's the third symptom of an emotionally emasculated male or emasculated man is when a man can't make a firm decision without second guessing himself. And I think I got you on this one. See, how many of you know that when you're constantly second guessing yourself, when you're constantly afraid, when God is just saying, do something. You know, how many of you know when you read the story of David and Goliath, guess what, guys? I do not believe that David was that good of a shot. I believe that David had faith enough to take that stone and put it in the sling, and he just threw it. Come on now. He did something. And how many of you know that if you will just trust God, God, I don't care. I don't care where you threw it. Just throw it. I don't care how you do it. Just do it. Do it in faith and stop second guessing yourself and just know that God is with you. Because I really believe that David, he slung that rock and God grabbed it because his aim was terrible, David's. And he took it, and God is the one that slew Goliath. Are you hearing me? See, you don't have to worry about your aim if you're just willing to shoot, if you're just willing to throw, if you're willing to trust God and make a decision. Is this helping anybody? Come on, Romans chapter 14, verse 23. It says, watch this. It says, but the man who doubts, look at this. It says, his misgivings and uneasy conscience about eating and then eats. It says here, it says perhaps because of you, stands condemned before God. Why? Because he's not true to his conviction and he does not act out of faith. Come on, I'm talking to you, man. It says, and ladies, we can all learn something from this, but I'm talking to fatherhood today. It says, watch this. It says, for whatever does not originate and proceed from faith is sin. It says, whatever is done without conviction of its approval by God is sinful. Please understand, gentlemen, God has not called you to be perfect. He's perfect. God's called you to trust him. How many of you know when you as a man step out, how many of you know that Peter, he didn't know what the heck he was talking about, but he knew he saw Jesus, and he said, Lord, bid me to come out there. And how many of you know Jesus said, come on, man. And the Bible says that Peter got out of the boat, and he did something. Peter got out of the boat, and he began to walk on the word, but he also walked on his faith, not because he was a water walker, but because he was a man that was willing to trust God and do something. Is this making any sense, guys? Come on. All right, here we go. Number four, men who might act tough. Here's your fill-in on the outside, but you know what they really are? But they're really irresponsible regarding what? Regarding work, family, and church. In other words, here's a symptom of a mostly emasculated man is they put on a front. You know, you see them in places and they act like they got everything going on, but the reality is they're irresponsible regarding their work, regarding their family, and regarding their church. And oftentimes, again, understand, I teach this all the time, that you can't have a Jezebel unless there's an Ahab. And see, so guess what? If a man is irresponsible, if he's not willing to do his part, then somebody has to do it. I spoken to men that say, you know what? Well, when I married her, she was sweet and she was soft and she was gentle. Yeah, bruh, but she married you. And you know, and you want to know what happened? She had to lift your weight. And how many of you know, if a woman has to lift a man's weight, lift his weight on the job because she's the only one working. Come on, everybody look straight. lift his weight in the family because she's the only one that's leading. She's the one that's being the father. Watch this. Orid Church. Come on. Y'all know this. We got majority of women doing all the work. You want to know what happens to the woman who has to lift something she wasn't designed to lift? She gets diesel. She gets hard. She gets masculine, you know, and then we're mad at her. How come she's all hard? Why is she touchy? Because she's been lifting your weight. And when she met you, she was able to carry her load without having to lift yours. Come on, is this making any sense? I know y'all might not be liking me, but guess what? I'm going back home. Here we go. Watch this. Here, let's read it. It says, watch this. Being responsible in spite of the hard grind of everyday life and conflict is one of the true tests of manhood. Come on, gentlemen. I know it's tough. I know it's hard, but God made you. God gave you the ability, watch this, to not only carry the load, but do it in style. Come on, men of God. Come on, brothers. How are we doing? Are y'all getting this? So one of the things, us not willing to take responsibility actually causes us to operate like a male. But when you take responsibility, everybody sees the man. Come on, we're almost out of here. Here's number five. It says, watch this. Men who abuse. Here's your fill-in. Man, I told you, in order to deliver the male, we got to read the male. Here we go. It says here, here's the last symptom. Men who abuse instead of protect women and children. Come on, let's read. It says, emotionally emasculated men are often insecure men who pick on those weaker than themselves, and they try, look at this, and they try to prove their manhood. Y'all know, come on, we call them bullies. And how many of you know, but watch this. Mike Tyson used to say this. He said, you know, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. And how many of you know, when you get punched in the mouth, we find out, man, you was a punk. Why were you picking on somebody? Watch this. Why were you abusing someone that you were designed to protect? Let's read it. It says, often this results in men, read with me, verbally or physically abusing their spouses and their children. And how many of you know, I'll say this, that the worst scars are internal. You know, it's supposed to be, oh, I don't hit her, but you don't say anything nice to her. I don't abuse her, but you don't use your words to lift her up. You know, I just keep it real. Real what? Real carnal. No wonder why your children actually, you know, they shrink when you speak because they haven't heard the words of affirmation. But guess what? In order to affirm, you must be affirmed. Is this making any sense? Here, we're almost done. This is why I told you I got to read the mail before we can deliver the mail. This is not a sign of true manhood, but a sign that they are lacking in true, watch this, male identity and function. We're almost done. Come on. So here's the last scripture. Somebody say, it's time to deliver the mail. Galatians chapter 4, 1 through 7. We're going to find it in the word. Here we go. It says, now what I mean is that as long as the inheritor or the heir is a child and underage, he does not differ from a slave. Now, this is really important because understand, guys, in order for us to be delivered from malehood into manhood, we've got to grow up spiritually. And this passage is so amazing because it says here, as long as you're still a child, as long as you're still underdeveloped, as long as you haven't taken the responsibility of what you're capable of doing, even though you're the heir, even though you are the man, guess what? You're no different than a slave. Verse 2, it says what? But he's under guardians and administrators or trustees until the day fixed by his father. Verse 3, it says, watch this, so that we Jewish Christians also, when we were minors, we were kept like slaves under the rules of the Hebrew ritual and were subject to the elementary teachings of a system of, watch this, of external observation and regulation. Somebody say, it's time to deliver the mail. Here we go, verse 4, it says, but when the proper time had fully come, it said, God sent his son, born of a woman, born subject to the regulations, watch this, of the law, to do what? To purchase the freedom of the ransom, to redeem, watch this, look here, to what? To atone for those who were subject to the law. It says here, and this is why on Father's Day, really, we're here to celebrate. We're here to celebrate our Heavenly Father, because it isn't until we receive the sacrifice of the Son from the Father that we could ever grow up into man. Here we go. Let's read. It says here, it says verse 6, it says, and because you really are his sons. Come on, talk to me. It says God has, watch this, God has sent the Holy Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Come on, read with me. Crying, Abba, Father, Father. Read with me. It says what? Therefore, you are no longer a slave. You're no longer a male. Come on, stop having male thoughts. Stop having male aspirations. Stop allowing motherhood to take on the responsibility of fatherhood, because it's time to be the man. Let's read. It goes on. It says, therefore, you are no longer a slave or a bondservant, but you are a son and a son. It says, watch this. And if you're a son, then it follows that you're an heir by the aid of God through Christ Jesus. Today is the day that not only that we celebrate fatherhood, but we celebrate, watch this, the return and the growing up of a male into a man. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you're here today and you heard the word, and I pray that you understand that we're talking spiritually, but even though we're talking spiritually, we're talking to everybody. The Bible says, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. And so you're here today, and first of all, I want to pray for, and I want to speak to every male man. If you're here today, you're watching this, and you heard, you got challenged today. And you said, my God, I mean, that's me. You know, I struggle with all of those areas. So every male does. But you realize, but you know what? I believe that I'm better than that. I believe that God has called me to a higher level. I want to function in fatherhood. I want to be the foundation of my family. I want to be the foundation of my church. I want to be the foundation of my society. Come on, guys. We have a pandemic and an epidemic going on. You want to know who God's really calling for? He's calling for fatherhood. He's calling for the men to rise up and to say, right is right, wrong is wrong. It's not a black thing, it's not a white thing, it's a righteous thing. And you're here today, and you are a mailman, and you desire to operate the way God functioned you to be. I just want to pray for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Come on, repeat after me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I believe that you are my daddy, and I understand that I could never function in fatherhood until I receive the Father myself. And from this day forward, I denounce and renounce a lifestyle based off of gender, based off of my flesh, based off of my brawn, based off of my mindset. I receive the promise of my Father today, and I receive the mandate to function in fatherhood. If you're there with every head bowed, every eye closed, male, female, you heard the word and you just realized, man, I want to be who God called and created me to be. And as I read the scripture, as it was saying that in our hearts, through the Holy Spirit, we're crying, Abba, Father, Daddy. The real cry of every human being is to be reunited with their daddy. And if you're saying, Pastor Ted, I want to receive Jesus as my Father. Or you might say, you know what, I am born again, but at some point in time, I've fallen away. I've actually gone outside of my Father's will for my life, but I want to come back home again. You don't need to get born again, but you're saying, yeah, I want to recommit my heart to the Lord. Both of you, everybody, bow your heads with every head bowed, every eye closed. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for being a good, good Father. I thank you that you're best for me is your Son, Jesus Christ. And I believe that Jesus lived, Jesus died, he rose from the dead to bring me back home again. And I thank you that I believe that I receive salvation, deliverance, healing, my function as a man, my function as a woman in the body of Christ. I receive you now in Jesus' name. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. Happy Father's Day. Happy Fatherhood Day. Come on, we just delivered the mail. We read the mail. And today is the day that we function as spiritual men, spiritual women of the Most High Father. In Jesus' name. Hey, guys, love you. It was an amazing opportunity to speak into your lives. Can't wait to see you in person. God bless you. Peace.
You know, if you made that bold decision today to accept Jesus or to recommit your life back to Jesus, I just want to be the first to say, well done. The Bible tells us that all of heaven right now is throwing a party because you decided to make that bold move. You know, there are some next steps. After we give our lives to Jesus, one of the next things that we can do is to get into a life-breathing, life-giving church, a local church. So if you are outside of the Orlando area, we invite you to find a life-giving church. If you're in Orlando, we would love to have you at City Place Church. We would also love to see you be water baptized, and all of that information you can find on our website at cityplacechurch.com. You know, today we have the other opportunity, and that's to lean into God and worship through our giving. And I just want to close our time together this morning and today to say, together we honor the house of God. We honor what God is doing. And do you know that we're the hands and feet of Jesus? You know, all across this community, during this time of our government shutdowns, all over the world, the Church of Jesus Christ has been on the move. I hope that you've been a part of it, and I hope that you've been in the move to financially bless the kingdom of God. You know, we are poised and positioned, ready to see who we can bless. And why can we do that as Christ followers? Because of your generosity. So I want to pray for you this morning as we prepare our gifts. You can give online going at cityplacechurch.com/give to find out all of the different ways that you can take part in our tithe and offering time this morning. But let me pray for you as we prepare that gift. Father, I just thank you right now for the spirit of generosity that is on your people. God, I thank you that you see the seeds that we have planted in the ground. Now I pray that you would water those seeds and create great fruit so that your name can be made famous. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I love seeing you like I do every single week, and I look forward to seeing you again here real soon, this time next week.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.